This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Some are calling for a deadline for withdrawal. Many advocating an artificial timetable for withdrawing our troops are sincere. But I believe they're sincerely wrong. Pulling our troops out before they've achieved their purpose is not a plan for victory.
President Bush speaking at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland on Wednesday. NPR senior news analyst Dan Schor joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
The president outlined what he called a strategy for victory in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, urged Americans, we'll pass this note along, too, to read more about it on the whitehouse.gov website.
Right.
Did the president's speech have a perceptible political impact?
Well, if you want to go by polls, there was a Gallup poll that was taken shortly after the speech in which 54% gave a poor or very poor rating to the president for his handling of Iraq. On the other hand, it must be said, mm-hmm. that 59% said they were against setting a specific timetable for withdrawal of troops. The president has this document, 35 pages, which I've looked through, as you said, called National Strategy for Victory in Iraq. But I don't know what a strategy is. This strikes me as more a public relations document than a military strategy document. What the speech did not do was what some had thought it might do, was to mark some kind of turning point in the American involvement in Iraq. It didn't really. It said, you know, it was really very much we're going ahead, where it is at stay the course, was the basic idea.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice in the president's words any sort of compromise on the question of a timetable or a deadline for withdrawal with people who have called for that?
No, on the contrary. First of all, he gave the back of his hand completely to Congressman Murtha, who wants to pull out the troops within the next 6 months. That he hardly seemed to dignify at all. But then there were ideas that had come up. There was the Senate, which had passed a bipartisan resolution asking at least to have a kind of a report every 3 months on how things are going. There was talk about maybe we can just set benchmarks, maybe we can just get some way of looking at it and give us a chance at least of getting troops out. No, none of that. The president was not going to play around with any of those things, and that's where you are.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about a story, I guess, the Los Angeles Times originally reported this week that U.S. military officials in Iraq have been paying Iraqi newspaper editors to run stories that they give them.
Yep.
There's been no... no confirmation from the Pentagon.
Well, Senator John Warner, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, seemed to be so exercised that he went to the Pentagon to get an explanation of what this was about. And then he gave a long news conference afterwards in which he said that they are trying to get the facts themselves. The Pentagon is waiting to get facts. But in any event, he clearly didn't want to talk about it now. It really is quite an amazing thing, you know, when we recall that only a few months ago we were talking about the Bush administration paying people to give the right commentaries on the radio or to do television news reports on the on their education program, all paid for by the government. My God, it is as though they're saying, we say we were spreading democracy to Iraq. Well, we'll spread to them the idea of how you get good press.
Immigration is an issue where the president is actually seems to be torn between some members of his own party. And in appearances this week, he pledged to tighten border security and called for the creation of a guest worker program that would allow illegal immigrants to hold jobs in the U.S. for limited periods of time.
Which 3 months.
Could lead, which successively could lead to residency. Does this program, in your estimation, seem to offer a resolution?
I'll tell you, no president has ever really been able to come up with a policy on immigration that would please everybody. There are two basic sides. There is business, which likes to have low-wage labor. And then there are the people who are very security conscious and who think it's terrible to let all these people come in illegally, and trying to fashion a bill that would accommodate both of these people has proved in the past to be rather impossible. So now, what are they doing? The president went to Arizona, went to New Mexico, went to places near the border and says, yes, we're going to really build fences and better fences. We're going to have more people watching everything. And there'll be a resolution introduced in Congress probably next week saying that border security comes first. That was Senator Bill Frist, the majority leader, but nothing was said about the guest worker program.
Randy Cunningham, Republican congressman from San Diego, resigned on Monday after he had pled guilty to accepting $2.4 million in bribes from defense companies in exchange for his influence in the awarding of contracts. Now, of course, this resignation occurs at a time when we could begin to list them. There's the investigation into Congressman DeLay's dealings with the lobbyist Jack Abramoff and Michael Scanlon. Also, the SEC is investigating Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. What do you make of this collection of investigations at this point, if there is any general threat between?
I had a very good name, Phil Stern, who wrote a book some 15, 20 years ago, the title of which was The Best Congress Money Can Buy. And I wish that Phil were around today to see how true that has become. There is something that people call a culture of corruption, and it seems to go very far and very deep. Now, somebody said to me, I may not be able to uphold this in detail, but somebody said to me, why is it that the Republicans have all the money scandals and the Democrats have all the sex scandals?
Now, I can recall plenty of Democratic money scandals.
All right.
But don't ask me to recall Republican sex scandals. My memory might be a little more dim on that.
I would not ask you to do that.
The National Archives this week released a 1985 memo written by Judge Alito. Samuel Alito has been nominated for the Supreme Court. He was then Assistant Solicitor General in the Reagan administration.
Right.
And the memo outlines what amounts to a legal strategy to weaken and ultimately perhaps overturn the Roe versus Wade decision. Do you think this presents a confirmation problem for Judge Alito that hasn't been presented so far?
Well, yes, I think it does represent a confirmation problem. I think you put it very well. But I don't think it's a confirmation problem that he will not necessarily be able to answer. The Republicans have made very clear that they want Alito confirmed. If at times he wrote things which indicated that what his views were on abortion, if that's a problem for people who believe in the right to abortion, undoubtedly there'll be a great deal of fuss made over it when the hearings are held. But I think in the end that it's very difficult for the Democrats to really stop it, because if they try to filibuster, and the word filibuster has not yet hardly been mentioned, but you're beginning to hear...
Not in this context,
but you're first beginning to hear that they will consider whether they want to filibuster. But they know that if they do, that in the end, the Republicans have the weapons of being able to end the filibuster. And so while it will cause a lot of fury and fuss, it may not get very far. But I think there'll be a lot more trouble before this all happens.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan Schor.
Sure thing.